Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast. I'm here today with my grandson,
Brandon,
and my granddaughter,
Hannah.
And, you know, they were here when Ben was talking. And he was talking about, and you can go back to Monday and Tuesday and go on the archives and find out about Ben. But he was talking about how he thought, when he was taking those hallucinatory drugs, he thought that he was coming into power. And he was trying to cross over into the spirit realm. And he said he believed that he was powerful. And actually, he's dying. The devil is killing him, destroying his liver, destroying everything about him. So, Hannah, you were thinking about something and talking about, go ahead with what we were talking about between times.
About, I think it's important for the church that there, I mean, we do have programs. I understand, like, you know, you're organized. The Holy Ghost is a great organizer, though, too. But the young people, this is a radical generation, and we're going to have radical prayer church service too. This mediocre and however many numbers you have, that's not going to do it. You're going to lose the young people because they're going
to
go out.
What do we have to have?
We're
going
to have the fire of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have the moves of the Holy Ghost, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, like Catherine Kuhlman, like movie stars would go to her meetings. Mm-hmm. People not saved, people of different denominations. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all the body of Christ. Like, maybe they don't speak in tongues, or even you, Mimi, you came out of that move. Mm-hmm. You came out of your church because of the move of the, it took you out of that Baptist church.
Yeah.
And not that the Baptists are bad, but they're, people are going to, are hungry. They're going to want to see it. And I even watched the Catherine Kuhlman meetings, and they would get healed, and they didn't even believe in healing, but they were so hungry and desperate that they just came. And this one lady, she said she was Methodist, and they didn't even, you know, they never heard of that. They never heard of healing.
But they came where the power was.
Yeah.
Now, the old-time Methodists had heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they came where the power was. The power draws people.
Yes.
Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. John G. Lake said that electricity is God's power in the natural realm, and the Holy Spirit is God's power in the spiritual realm. So they're looking for power.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to see it. And then prayer has to do with that too.
Yeah.
Praying that in, giving ourselves to it, wanting that, desiring that. Brandon, do you, what I see is the devil's dumbing them down. He just dumbs them down.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they get power, but a lot of it is just a plain old dumbing down. Go ahead, Brandon.
That's right. I mean, I totally have to agree. You know, there's, you know, you can go different routes, like in the natural, to see, to feel those different things, like the different drugs. You can kind of go into that little realm, the spirit realm. And, you know, it's just so easy for them to do. And like Hannah said, it's so important that our churches have the real thing, because there's so much counterfeit out there. And if you're sensitive to the spirit realm, you're going to do the counterfeit if you don't know better, you know, because it's so easy to do. But like Hannah said, it's so important for our church. We need to make it that our churches carry that power and healings, and, you know, they can sense it. So
mm-hmm.
I just have to agree with both of y'all.
Something that the Lord was for a little bit, I think I mentioned to you, I kept praying about a door. You remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then John 10, and something that was that I would always have to read John 10 at least once a day, and I couldn't understand. But
oh yes.
And then the Holy Ghost showed me, and it says, but he who enters, this is John 10 verse 2, it says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings them out. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never, on any account, follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize it. And then verse 7 says, so Jesus said again, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that I myself am the door for the sheep. and the watchman. Jesus is the door, mm-hmm. and the watchman is the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and we as prayers we let the Holy Ghost use us. He opens the door, and Jesus.
That's right.
That's what church. It's not about that person. They're supposed to, like Vicki Jameson. She said she was a handmaiden of the Lord. She was just revealing what she said, something like opening the curtain for God to move. And there were so many just manifestations of the Holy Spirit in her services because she was just used of God for Jesus to walk through and heal those people and touch them.
Have you listened to my tapes, Watching in the Spirit?
No, I don't.
They're really old. And I was going through our bookstore the other day and saw them in there, and I listened to them. And I did them just after Brother Halverson went to heaven. And so I told in there how Brother Hagin had prophesied to me to write books on prayer. Simple prayer for one book and secrets of prayer for the other. So on this series, I talked about some of the secrets that Brother Halverson taught us about prayer. And what he taught us about was John 10. And he taught us exactly what you said today. Now, did the Holy Ghost teach you this?
Yeah, and I actually asked, because I asked Lynn Hammond,
mm-hmm.
and that's what she said. Because I said, I knew it was something, and she said that the watchman was the Holy Spirit.
Okay, she had learned that from Brother Halverson. And he taught us that the watchman is the Holy Spirit, that the porter, I think it says in King James, he opens the door. And our prayers have to do with that. And then there's the ministry of watching in the Spirit on both sides of the veil. And so if you want that series, we're making it available right now for $5. It's two CDs. You can just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and say you want the Watching in the Spirit series. But that's really right. And so, Hannah, you've been given to prayer ever since you were a little girl. Your brothers used to make fun of you, including that brother who sits right over here. Brandon, why did you do that?
Because, you know, she would pray really loud, and we'd just tease her. I think she was just younger, so she thought we were just making fun of her, but we'd tease her about it.
So you're how much older than her?
About a year and 9 months.
And then her other brothers, 5 years old.
5 years.
Mm-hmm. So the two older brothers would make fun of her. I remember one time I was in Israel, and Hannah had this prayer burden about a man. She thought it was a man named Aman. And she said, it's so heavy, Mimi, and I can't get rid of it. Shelley and I were over right on the border of Jordan. And she said, do you know a man named Aman? And she said, I'm praying, it's so heavy, and my brothers are laughing at me.
I remember when she was writing that email, because I walked into the room where the computer was, and she gave me a look, and I knew that look was she was telling on me.
Yeah, and what
she
were
was
you
writing
doing?
To Mimi, I was like, okay, she's telling on
me. Were you laughing at her? Were you teasing
no,
her?
No, she just looked at, she just gave me a look. And
but you were laughing at the way she was praying.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it's loud, it's heavy, right. It's travail. Well, it turns out that Aman is Aman Jordan. And there were three trucks that were loaded with chemical weapons, and they came out of the Bekaa Valley in Syria, and they were headed toward Amman, Jordan. And well, they found two of those trucks. I don't know if they ever found the third one, but Hannah was praying. But anyway, she was laughing. She was saying, "My brothers are making fun of me, and they're laughing." And I said, "Oh," I emailed her back, "Don't worry about that. Your mother's brothers used to make fun of her, and now they're preaching the gospel and involved in God's work." So did you ever pray for your brothers, Hannah?
Yes.
You're the little sister, and they're the big brothers. And
yeah, Jared taught me how to believe. Through his experience, I learned the believer's authority at 13.
Yeah, now you're 13, and Jared's
when I was 13.
5 years older. He's 18. 14,
yeah.
So is he in trouble?
Yeah, he that was his stage of...
We call it bad Jared.
Just backsliding and, yeah. So I really had to learn. I remember one night just something demonic, something tried to bother me, and, at 12, 13 years old. And I read I knew my authority, but I never had to actually use it when something was trying to bother me. So I read Kenneth E. Hagin's book, Believer's Authority. Mm-hmm. And I was ready for something to bother ready. Me mm-hmm. so I could use it because yeah. I was so mad.
Oh, yeah. You had your weapons and yeah. you were ready.
Yeah.
You wanted him to come yeah, on, I was huh? Like, and so then you took him on.
Yeah.
Over your brother?
Mm-hmm. Something tried to harass me. He was mimicking my name when I was real little, just mimicking me.
You could hear
in
it?
In the middle of the night. Yeah. And I woke up. And
what's it sound like?
Just saying, Hannah, banana, like really weird and, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I just took, and I was like, and I just went after it. And I was like, you get out of here. And I was.
And what happened?
Nothing bothered me again. Nothing. Never again.
See, there's how easy it is with our authority when they're bothering them. I know we're getting here to the end of the program, and our engineer, Brandon, is our engineer. But I want him to start talking. I want him to talk with us tomorrow about his walk with the Lord because it's become very intense. And I want him to talk with us a little bit about that. But Hannah, you here, you knew you didn't backslide in your life.
No, I didn't.
Now this is an amazing thing because we got a letter from one of our little friends over in Scotland, and she said that she often sees like preacher's kids, you know, and they don't seem to be godly like their parents or grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
But you never did that.
Right.
What was it that just kept you going?
I've definitely had, you know, there's nothing, I always tell my friends who are close around me, there's nothing different because of my family. I still have flesh. I still have to walk through things. I still have to use my faith. Nothing special about me. I didn't get any special power that I could, you know, I still have to do the word. I mean, I've definitely been tempted or, you know, just the lies of the devil. But I think the main thing is when I was younger, I would talk to the Lord in my room by myself as a little girl, and I built that relationship like that with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was so precious to me that really, the Lord protected me, I know, through so many things, but that's really what, that I saw, you know, God as my father, and not, you know, I had to build that relationship with him.
And you started that when you were so little.
Mm-hmm.
So little, I mean, 3 years old. You were out there commanding storms to go up in the sky, 4 years old, mm-hmm. Tornadoes. And I remember 5 and 6, and you had this relationship. Now you were, you know, you had your flesh and your flesh breaks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you always had that with God.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be talking more about this tomorrow. This is Billy Brown and family saying shalom, shalom. Shalom. There's no greater joy than knowing that your children walk in the truth. And I'm sitting here right now in the midst of no greater joy. Of course, that's written in 3 John. And we invite you to come online and listen to the archives of all this week where we've been talking about young people and youth and the great treasure they are. Shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow.